The WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, and we are local. And it all starts with WTNS News.
So who was behind it? I'm Jeremy Scott. The Coshocton County Sheriff's Office Detective Division executed a search warrant in Warsaw last night that resulted in the take back of some drugs. It took place around 10:30 in the 200 block of West Main Street. Drugs and paraphernalia were taken from the scene. However, no arrests were reported as a part of this. It's an ongoing investigation and will continue to be reviewed by the Coshocton County Prosecutor's Office. Coshocton County Sheriff's Office reported 2 accidents yesterday. Deputies responded to a motor vehicle accident without injury on Township Road 55 near Township Road 384 involving Dustin Philibaum and Richard Barthel. Philibaum was cited for going left of center and failure to control. 2 people involved in a 2-vehicle wreck last night in Bethlehem Township appear to be okay. That took place around 7:30 in the area of U.S. 36 and County Road 27. 54-year-old Annette Miser of Coshocton was westbound on 36 when she started to make a left-hand turn onto County Road 27. 58-year-old Carolyn Bozard of Warsaw was westbound and about to turn left from County Road 27 onto 36. Bozard failed to yield the right-of-way, and that caused Bozard's vehicle to strike Miser's vehicle. No injuries were reported. Both ladies were checked out on scene by Coshocton County EMS. 3 complaints. A tall grass and weed notice was issued in the 900 block of Oak Street. A tall grass and weed notice was issued in the 400 block of South 3rd Street. A zoning complaint was received in the 500 block of South White Woman. So have we seen the worst of this current inflation? Well, the Consumer Price Index is a key measure of inflation and tracks just how much we spend. April's report is still near historic highs, 8.3%. Gasoline has seen the biggest jump, a 43.6% increase since 1 year ago. Used cars, food prices, and home prices also saw significant increases. All this said, though, the report shows April's CPI was still slightly lower than March's. Experts say prices will likely remain high over the summertime, but the inflation peak could be behind us. The escalation of gas prices continues across the U.S. Gas prices are at a record high. As of this morning, the national average was $4.40, which was nearly 18 cents higher than just a week ago. This time last year, the national average was under $3 a gallon. In Ohio, our current average price for a gallon is $4.28. Broadband internet expansion continues to be a hot topic throughout Coshocton County. That's why the Ohio Mideastern Governments Association, also known as Omega, held an informational seminar yesterday to discuss the feasibility of expanding the service to every nook and cranny of the county. The information presented by Athens-based Reed Consulting was basically an expansion upon the very basics they presented March 29th at the annual Omega members meeting at Coshocton KOA. In Coshocton County, 52% of households do not have access to the 25 megabytes per second download speed that's considered to be the bare minimum of what is considered acceptable internet. However, it's estimated internet providers are only set to invest $15.8 million of an estimated $79.4 million investment that would be needed to create the fiber network that would connect all those households to the minimum megabytes per second speed. However, Reed Consulting Communications Consultant Sean O'Malley says a slew of new revenue streams is forthcoming. These include another round of Rural Digital Opportunity Fund money, a couple of USDA programs, a $270 million source through the U.S. Department of Treasury, and the possibility of $1.5 billion for Ohio through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. O'Malley says the federal government has finally started treating broadband as essential.
I feel optimistic for once. Like, I honestly am optimistic about the future at this point with all of these programs being available and the way folks who are managing that money are looking at it.
Yesterday's presentation did not take into account the investment the Coshocton County Commissioners have already made in the countywide broadband project, which seeks to make broadband available to 90% of Coshocton County. Groups representing social workers and women have challenged an Ohio City's ban on abortion. The National Association of Social Workers and Women Have Options Ohio told the U.S. District Court in a lawsuit filed yesterday the city of Lebanon's ordinance infringes upon their constitutional rights of due process and free speech. Passed last May, the law criminalizes performing or helping with any abortion within city limits. Plaintiffs allege social workers could face prosecution under the law for even discussing abortion as an option with clients. The Texas-based authors of the law called it sound and predictive victory in court. And new research from the Ohio State University College of Medicine and the OSU Wexner Medical Center shows current mental health screening techniques could fall short in working to identify suicidal thoughts. The study also found gun owners are less likely than non-gun owners to report experiencing suicidal ideation. 10,000 adults were surveyed for the study. The author says combining more comprehensive questions with barriers to immediate gun access could save more lives. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It is 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, 54 degrees in Coshocton. Good morning, everyone. It is time for the Communication Lives program, and I'm your host, Mike Bechtel. We'll be here together until 11 o'clock this morning, and a little bit of everything on the Communication Lines today. I do anticipate that we will have some open phone lines towards the end of our program today, very likely the entire second hour, most of it anyway. We have some very interesting and informative guests that will be joining us at about 9:30 this morning. We will be joined by Coshocton County Sheriff Jim Crawford and Deputy Dave Stone will be with us as well, and also a K-9 Deputy Charlie. I believe Charlie is the one that's going to come here today, and we're going to talk a little bit about the K-9 unit and just what all those K-9 deputies do, and they do a lot. So that'll be here in just a little bit. Joining us here in the studio to kick off our program today is Alex Nelson, and she is the brand new Director of Coshocton County Recycling and Litter Prevention to talk a little bit about herself and that office. And good morning, Alex. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And now, how long have you been in the position now?
Just about 2 months, I think.
Okay, so that's not very long. And I know that when you start, there's a learning curve when you start a new job. You feel like you're getting acclimated?
I think so, yeah. Things are, as things sprout up, I'm trying to get to them as best I can, and it's getting easier as it kind of goes on here.
Well, what attracted you to this position when the opening came up? What made you think that, hey, I'd kind of like to do that?
Sure. So I've always been interested in the environment and kind of saving the planet, right, is this idea that everyone kind of has maybe. And I was always interested in animals, but there isn't really a whole lot around here. I previously worked at the Wild in Cumberland. But once this opened up, I thought, wow, this is a really great opportunity to kind of maybe do something that I really enjoy and have a passion for that's closer to home. So I'm excited to do that.
In addition to learning the ropes and the ins and outs, what have you spent most of your time doing here the first couple of months?
Honestly, just kind of figuring out the ins and outs of the job, right? So as the director, it's not as glamorous as it probably maybe looks. I don't get to go out as much as I maybe want to and talk with people. It's a lot of behind-the-scenes office stuff and making sure that things are happening the way that they should. I have two guys that I work with that are amazing, Tim and Mike. They do all of the pickup for the recycling bins and the litter and the office pickup around the county, so they help a lot too.
Well, what is your general assessment, given the perspective that you have now, of how we do here in Coshocton County as far as, well, we'll start with recycling. Are we recycle?
So Tim is the main guy that does our recycling pickup, right? So he goes to all of those 12 drop-offs that are across the county every week, and he has to go pretty frequently to each individual location, which is a really good sign to us as we are keeping those numbers, right? So I think he has to unload. We have these packer trucks that he'll load up, and I want to say that he's going up to Dover to unload those at least once, if not twice a week, which is pretty impressive.
Have you had time to look at the historical numbers with the recycling bins and notice any trends here in the last couple of years, whether COVID had an impact, whether recycling is going up, down, or remaining about the same here?
Right. So I think last year, at least from what I can tell with the numbers, it was a really good year, all things COVID considering. The year before that as well, I think people being home a lot more had them maybe focusing that waste into the recycling bins versus the trash and being a little more conscious about it, because they were home and they had time to kind of sort through that. This year we're on track to be right about the same as we were last year, which is great. And yeah, I'm hoping the trend kind of stays that way.
Are you, have you been there long enough that you can rattle off those 12 locations, yes?
Oh, gosh.
All right, I will put
maybe
you on
not, maybe next
there.
Time.
But they are evenly scattered throughout the county. And those that use them regularly know where the closest ones are. Maybe we can review some of the rules and the procedures for using those recycled bins, because they have changed a little bit over the years.
Absolutely.
How does it work?
Yeah, so let's just start with what can you recycle, right? So in Coshocton County, we're super fortunate that we, with our contract that we have with Kimball, we're able to recycle a lot. So if we think about our plastics, we can recycle plastics numbers 1 through 7. And so on the bottom of anything that is plastic or recyclable, there is going to be a little triangle. Inside that triangle is going to be a number, and that's going to tell you what number plastic it is. So plastics 1 through 7 are going to be good to go in there. So that's going to be any kind of water bottles. Cleaning solution bottles are some things that people usually don't realize. Laundry detergent, milk jugs, like cottage cheese containers, ketchup and mustard bottles, all that good stuff. Even our, if you go to Dunkin', I know I go to Dunkin' pretty frequently, their disposable cups that they give you, the plastic, those are 5s. So those are all clear to go in there, which is great. We do all the plastics. We do paper products, cardboard. A good rule of thumb for paper products is if you dump some water on it, and within 10 seconds, if it can absorb that water or any water, it is recyclable. So that's something to remember for that. For any kind of a plastic that maybe you aren't sure if you can recycle it or not, if it doesn't have a number on it, a really good kind of rule of thumb for that is if you can push your finger through it and make a hole, it's not recyclable. So if we think about our sandwich baggies, our Walmart bags, anything like that, don't put those in the recycling bin because they're too thin, they're too soft. If they would go into the recycling machines, they'll actually get stuck and break those machines. So anything that's too thin that you can poke your finger through, those can't go in. But anything with a number, paper products, cardboard, all of that good stuff is good to go in there. And when you're thinking about those kind of plastics, especially if they had food in them or chemicals in them, just giving them a quick rinse out, making sure they don't have any of that food contamination on them before they go in there, just because we don't want our bins to be really gross, because then those won't be of use to those recycling companies.
Now, how important is that? You got an old mayonnaise, plastic mayonnaise jar.
Sure.
It's a recyclable, but getting all that mayonnaise out
right.
It takes a little extra effort, but we
right.
should make that effort, right?
Absolutely. And so there are kind of two trains of thought to think about that, right? So the first thought being, if I'm going to be going to buy recycly products made from recycled materials, if I'm thinking that the products I want to buy, I want them to be clean. I don't want them to be kind of icky or gross, right? So that's helping myself in the future. But also, if we think about maybe our trash, if we don't rinse out our things, it stinks, and it maybe can get some flies in it. We don't want our bins to get really stinky with flies, maggots, all that stuff, because then that's going to contaminate the whole bin with just a couple pieces mm-hmm. Of that waste, which is less than ideal.
Now, right? Apparently that has happened on occasion.
Right.
And now when people use the bins, should you put stuff in a bag or just dump it in the bin?
No, it should not be in a bag. So my only kind of workaround for that is if you have like a small bag of shredded paper, we don't want that just blowing around like confetti. So if you do want to recycle shredded paper, that's okay, a small amount, and just put it in like a paper bag, like an Aldi bag or something like that, and then that can get tossed in there.
And why shouldn't it be bagged? There might be people thinking, well gosh, it's nice and neat and easy to handle if it's in a
sure.
bag. Okay, you shouldn't do that. Why not?
So along the same lines of what I kind of just mentioned, so those plastic bags just are not recyclable. So when our guys go out and they dump those bins into their packer trucks, they are not going through with their hands and hand sorting that to put it in that packer truck. And when it goes straight from that packer truck and then into that recycling process, they're most likely not getting hand sorted in that either. So there's no one that's going to be taking them physically out of that bag. And then that bag is going into that process as well. And that's going to lead to that breaking or the hurting of the machinery, which is less than ideal.
Is there signage at the locations to explain some of the do's
exactly.
and don'ts?
Exactly, yeah. So each location should have a big sign on it that has a lot of the descriptions that I just talked about, and maybe some even more that I'm not thinking of right now or that we haven't mentioned, but they should go go through and say all of that stuff. But if anyone has any questions or anything like that, I always have my phone, I always have my email ready, so I'm more than happy to field any of those questions. I know it's a lot to undertake to do recycling. People think that it maybe is easier than it is, or maybe it isn't as tricky as it is, because I sometimes wonder if something's recyclable or not, and that's normal. It's normal to not know, but it's just doing the research then after that to get the answers.
What are some of the biggest mistakes people make, or things that folks try to recycle or think they can recycle that really shouldn't be recycled?
Sure. Styrofoam is a big one. So, like clamshells that are made of styrofoam. There are certain clamshells that are recyclable, but again, just looking for that little triangle on the bottom. Most of them are fives or sixes, but if it is styrofoam, that can't be in there. There are a lot of people that will put plastic bags or will bag their recyclables and things like that, which don't seem like a big deal, but if everyone's doing it, it really does make a difference for kind of the worst there.
So what happens when somebody does that? Somebody have to pick that stuff out? Or somebody have to clean the mayonnaise jars, or do they just simply get thrown in and end up going to the landfill?
Yeah, so from what I understand, and I'm sure each company that would take stuff is different, but from what I understand where we take it, they would just dispose of that. It would be considered contaminated, and then that would just get thrown out. They don't have time, as much as they would probably want to, they don't have time to go through and rinse everyone's mayonnaise jars as soon as they get them. And by the time it would get to them anyway, it would probably be moldy, it might have bugs in it, and that's something that they just don't have the time or the resources to do.
Have you had an opportunity to visit all 12 of the sites yet?
I have, actually.
The one in West Carlisle?
Yeah, okay. So I've been out there a couple different times. I was fortunate enough to go on a ride along with Tim, our pickup guy, mm-hmm. and he kind of showed me the ropes on how that works, which was really eye-opening, actually. It was a really cool experience, and yeah, I've been out to all of the places, and it's really cool. I never realized before I had this job how widespread, one, Coshocton County is, but two, the recycling program and the ability for kind of everyone to, they have a chance to do it, which is great.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that the folks that live in town here might take for granted, because we here in the town, we've got our own recycling curbside service, but out in the county, you can help with the environment and recycling and maybe save a couple of bucks on your refuse disposal.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the big things, too. I recently read a paper that said every person in the whole planet, right, so around 7 billion people, it shakes out that there is so much waste produced every day that every person will have about 4 to 6 pounds of waste in a single day, mm-hmm. which is crazy. But to think about then all the things that we can recycle and that, it would at least cut it in half. I know all of the paper that maybe we just throw away without thinking about it, junk mail, cardboard, plastic bottles, all of that stuff, it adds up. And especially if you are paying for your disposal fees when it comes to like per pound or whatever it might be, it does make a difference in the long run.
What happens to all the recyclables that are in the bins? Where are they taken?
Yeah, so they are taken up to the Kimball plant in Dover. So they have I don't even know the right word for it, but it's essentially like a little garage where it all gets put down, and then they will actually have their recycling companies come out, grab truckfuls of it, and then take it to their different facilities.
Have you gotten to observe any of that yet on your...
Not up in Dover. I was fortunate enough to go out to one of my my counterparts in Fairfield County, where they have a MRF, which is a materials recovery facility, and they do all of their sorting by hand. So I got to go out there and watch the guys unload the trucks, use a forklift to kind of put it where it needs to go, and sort through it that way. And it is so interesting and fascinating. But it's also really eye-opening when you see the random stuff that should not be in the mm-hmm. recycling, and them having to then figure out what to do with a sweeper that was thrown in there, or whatever it might be, right?
Sure. If you use the sweeper as an example, you must have seen that.
I've seen it more times than I would like to admit.
Well, so after the facilities at Kimball and everything is sorted, then what?
Sure.
Where do things go?
That's a great question, too. Yeah, so as soon as it's sorted, there will be different contractors that come out that want to buy this material in bulk, right? So we'll use that Fairfield MRF as an example again. So they sort out all of their aluminum cans separately. And they have a baler that will squish all of these aluminum cans into little, probably, I'm using my hands, I realize I'm on the radio. they will bale these tin cans, or aluminum cans, excuse me, into little, probably 2x2 cubes, 2-foot by 2-foot cubes, and then they'll stack those up onto a big pallet until, I forget how many there are, probably 50 bales on this pallet, right? And then they'll send that out on trucks to whatever company this would be that's going to reuse those to make new products. And so that's essentially what's happening with all of those different breakdowns of plastics, right? So the ones are going to go to a separate company. The twos are going to go somewhere. The tin cans are going to go somewhere. The aluminum cans are going to go somewhere. And then depending on the company, they are going to make their various materials with that. So there are places that use the ones like plastic bottles to make carpet, or they'll make t-shirts, or they'll make reusable bags. Like I said before, those aluminum cans, they can go get made into sheet metal, or they can go get made into new aluminum cans, which is super cool. Aluminum cans are actually one of my favorite things to talk about, especially to kiddos, because when we think about the return rate on these products, right? Mike, how fast do you think an aluminum can, from the time I throw it in a recycling bin to being back on the shelf, what do you think that time frame is?
Recycling bin and recycled and turned into a new product and back on the shelf as a new recycled aluminum can.
Yes.
2 weeks.
You're pretty close. It's about 4 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
So it is one of the fastest turnaround rates for a recycled product to be seen again as a new product, right? Which is really, really cool, especially when it's something so what people might think is insignificant. But it really, recycling just that one thing goes into a lot more down the road.
And aluminum cans, very recyclable in the whole scheme of things, easily recyclable. Some of the others, the process is a little more intensive, right? It takes a little bit more to recycle, and the processing takes more.
Exactly, yeah, and I think that's kind of where the discrepancy is there, right? Or why people might not think it as impressive, but really they all, the process for all of them is pretty ingenuitive in the way that companies are able to reuse things and repurpose them too. But that brings up a good point as well, is if you maybe find something that you can't recycle or you can't put in down that line, just reusing it at home or donating it to somewhere that could maybe use it is always an option. There are always three or four options before you can go directly to trash, right? Which is something that's important to think about too.
Our guest is Alex Nelson. She is the new director of Coshocton County Recycling and Litter Prevention. We're going to take a break here, and we come back. I'd like to talk about some of the places that you've been and places and people that you have spoken to during your brief tenure so far as director. We'll be back right after these words.
You are invited to the JNR Door Second Annual Car and Bike Show on Saturday, May 21st from 11 to 5. Register for the Car and Bike Show from 9 to 11. Doors open to the public at 11. There will be a food truck on site, door prizes from local businesses, and a 50-50 drawing with proceeds being donated to the local animal shelter. Bring the family out on Saturday, May 21st from 11 to 5 for the JNR Door Second Annual Car and Bike Show, located here at JNR Door on 36.
You've heard of White Woman Street and White Woman's Rock. Who was this white woman so memorialized in Coshocton? She was Mary Harris, the first identifiable resident of Coshocton, a Mohawk peace emissary, and a kind grandmother. The book, Mary Harris, The White Woman of the Ohio Frontier in 1750, describes her entire life with new archival evidence. Available exclusively at the Johnson Hummerkaus Museum for just $15.
This is the meat man, Gary Collins from Collins Meat and Food Market. I've been cutting fresh steaks and meat for almost 42 years and providing the best quality meat around. While you're here, try my fresh-made everyday ground beef, ground chuck, and fresh bulk sausage. If you're looking for the most economical way to buy meat, try one of my 19 economy meat bundles, ranging from $19.95 to $179.95. To place orders, stop by 993 Kenilworth Avenue or call 622-4625. We're having a monthly drawing of a $100 gift card to the store. No purchase necessary. Stop in and put your name in the can by the register. Come in and see us at Collins Meat and Food Market, where you can't beat our deli meat prices. Enjoy the weekend, and remember, Keep smiling.
Gary gladly accepts the Ohio Direction Card and delivers free within the city limits.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
Coshocton Furniture has an important announcement. Everything in their back building is now free for the hauling. That's right. Everything at 125 South 4th Street is free for the hauling until 5 p.m. today. They have many wood products like large desks and chairs. There's a little bit of everything. Stop in today and grab what you want until 5 p.m. The address again is 125 South 4th Street in Coshocton.
Call the Jeff Drennan's Ford Sports Line at 623-9867. Hi, I'm Adam Peters. Join us for our Memorial Day sale with $2,500 minimum for your trade-in during the whole month of May. Only at Jeff Drennan Ford.
Come on, kids, get in the van. You don't want to be late for school.
Mom, where's my homework?
It's in your book bag. Now let's get going. Oh no, the van won't start. Now what am I going to do?
When you need help, call Prince's Wrecker Service at 622-3916. Anyone can call Dave and his guys to buy from the AAA battery program. Prince's provides towing and lockout service too.
Mostly sunny skies today, warm with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, clear with lows in the upper 50s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with highs around 80 degrees. 54 degrees currently in Coshocton. We're back one more time with Alex Nelson, director of Coshocton County Recycling and Litter Prevention. And you had a presence, a booth at the Black Bear Fest?
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to go out there and hang out this past Saturday and see some kiddos and some families, which was great. It was a really, really well put on event, and we saw, I want to say, I talked to at least 60 or 75 people, which mm-hmm. was great. It was a great turnout.
Did the kids, do they take an interest in it? Do you?
A few of them. Okay. I think there's a line, right, between the kiddos that are there just for the bounty houses and then the ones that are actually there to see the booths. Some of the older kids were pretty pretty inquisitive and asked some really good questions, and that made my heart happy. But for the most part, I think a lot of them were there just for the fun of the day, right? But I think I hopefully put some little seeds of recycling just in the couple of maybe words that I shared with them, which is great.
There were back when I was a kid, back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a concerted campaign to appeal to kids not to litter. And boy, when I was a kid, you did not steal, you did not hurt anybody, and you did not litter.
Right.
So, you know, Chief Iron Eyes and Woodsy the Owl and some others. Do we have anything like that today on a national level that you know of?
I
know it's not at the same, I guess, intensity as it was back then.
Right, and I'm not sure if it's just for lack of trying or if maybe it's not as prevalent of either an issue or maybe a concern as much as it once was. Woodsy the Owl was pretty amazing, though. Mm-hmm. So if we could bring him back, that would be great.
And Earth Day, did your office do anything for Earth Day? Did you speak anywhere? What did you do?
So I was still kind of trying to get my feet under me this Earth Day. Next year, hopefully, I will be able to branch out a little bit more for that specifically. But I was able to go out yesterday, actually, to Wills Creek. They put on a really, really nice Earth Day, really similar to the one that was previously held at AAP. I don't know if you remember when that was a big thing mm-hmm. for the sixth graders. So they had fifth and sixth grade out at Wills Creek yesterday, and there were, I want to say, maybe 20-ish booths that were there. And it was a really, really good turnout. The weather was gorgeous, and I spoke to a really nice handful of sixth graders, probably around like 100. So it was pretty good.
And you had a lot of speaking engagements on your calendar at this point?
Here and there, yeah. I'm still trying. It's hard with school kind of coming to a close right now to get into the schools. So hopefully come August, I can put some of those on. I do have a couple things for like Rotary Club and all that good stuff coming up. And I am really excited to talk to groups like that. I feel like any and all opportunities to speak with the public is always a great opportunity, right? So whether it be kids or adults or 4-H clubs or whatever it is, I think I really enjoy talking to people. And so any opportunity to do that, I will gladly jump on.
And again, you just started just a few weeks, but have you been there long enough that you see some maybe some priorities start to come into focus in the direction that you would like to take litter prevention and recycling here in Coshocton County?
Yeah, so one of the big things that I really want to work to see what the community is interested in, and I think we talked a little bit about it earlier, would be those days, right? So having a hazardous waste collection event, mm-hmm. or maybe a tire collection event, or a glass collection event, something like that, I think, whether it just be once or twice a year, would really make a difference. And I'm curious to see kind of what people are wanting or are wanting to move forward with. And I will be really, really interested in making that happen. I just don't know what people want.
And that sometimes boring things come into play, like how you gonna fund it and pay for it. But
exactly.
Those are some things as well. How is Coshocton County Recycling Litter Prevention funded? Where do the dollars come from?
Yeah, that's great. So we are funded by the Coshocton Licking Fairfield Perry Solid Waste District. So it is grant funded. So we're funded through a grant through the EPA, and they. Because of that, everything that I do, everything that my guys do is all contract-based. So everything that we do has to adhere to that contract and make sure that we are pertaining to everything that we should be doing on a government level. That way we can have that trickle down and making sure we're making the best impact possible.
Well, Alex, just passed 9:30 here, and it has been a pleasure. I want to thank you for coming in here with us today, particularly after you just started, and we'll do it again down the road and get into more detail about specific recycling issues.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
That is Alex Nelson. She is the director of Coshocton County Recycling and Litter Prevention. We'll be back right after these words.
The sun is out and the smell of barbecue is in the air. That's right. Real McCoy Barbecue is open today, 11 a.m. until sold out. Real McCoy Barbecue is located on County Road 621 across from Hans. Emily is serving her normal menu and an added treat, chicken quarters and ribs. Real McCoy Barbecue is open today, 11 a.m. until sold out, so make sure you stop by and enjoy Emily's delicious barbecue.
Join us for the second annual 0.5K race for United Way on Saturday, May 14th at 10:30 a.m. This year, we are meeting outside of the United Way office, where Main Street will be closed from 4th to 5th Streets. Early bird registration of $25 is being extended to Thursday, May 12th. Everyone registered will get a free lunch provided by the Main Street station. Remember that awards will be given out, so be sure to assemble the largest team possible, wear your wackiest costume, or break more rules than anyone. No sweating is allowed. Register at CoshoctonUnitedWay.org. We will see you Saturday, May 14th at 10:30 a.m.
Hi, this is Mark Lacey with Old Town Realty. Back in 2006, I was selling Coshocton and Muskingum County land for roughly $2,000 an acre. Today, I'm selling Coshocton and Muskingum County land for $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 an acre, and in a few cases, even higher. In just 15 years, landowners have seen a huge jump in value and demand. If you have money to invest, land ownership is not only profitable, it can be a very satisfying way to maximize your dollars. So if you are in the market for land, just give me a call, 740-502-3074. And remember, if you think land, Mark Lacey's your man.
We all have 206 things in common. Our bones keep us up and moving. And Cleveland Clinic Union Hospital orthopedic specialists care about every single one of them. From the tip of your finger to a brand new hip, our orthopedic experts will keep you moving. For every bone and every breakthrough, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic Union Hospital. Don't delay. Visit unionhospital.org/ortho.
Are you starting to question your gambling?
Or the actions of someone you love?
It may be time to talk to someone who understands.
Call the Problem Gambling Helpline today and talk to a trained specialist.
There's no judgment and no commitment.
Plus, it's completely free and confidential.
We're here for you. You are not alone.
And remember,
we all have the power to change.
With the Problem Gambling Helpline of Ohio.
Make the call today.
Call the Problem Gambling Helpline of Ohio at 1-800-589-9966.
While we may disagree a lot, we do agree Rural King's our favorite place for spring planting.
Yeah, but we've got to focus. Roses, a couple flats of impatiens, and a spade.
A shovel?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking tiller.
Oh, we do not need a tiller.
Wait, a mower. Those new zero turns are sweet.
Focus. Roses, mulch, shovel, impatiens.
Jeez, talk about impatient.
Can I help you?
Yeah. Chainsaws.
Let's go.
I'm almost done mowing this section.
Ridiculous.
This look at the weather is brought to you by Clean Right Carpet Cleaners. You want your carpets cleaned, but who do you call? Call Stacy Young with Clean Right Carpet Cleaners. He has over 30 years of experience and uses a multi-step process to make sure that your carpets are as clean as they can possibly be. For a free estimate, call 740-622-8392.
Mostly sunny skies today, warm with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, clear with lows in the upper 50s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, highs around 80. It is currently 54 degrees in Coshocton. And we have a guest here in the studio with us for the remainder of our first hour. And we might just go past 10 o'clock. We'll see how things go today. We have four law enforcement officers here, three with two legs and one with four. It's a pleasure to welcome to the studio Coshocton County Sheriff Jim Crawford, and also canine net handlers Dave Stone and Stephen Mox, and canine officer Charlie. And Dave, I'll just go ahead and start with you, simply because you're standing in front of the microphone there. How long have you been doing this?
I've been a canine handler with the Sheriff's Office here in Coshocton County since 2007.
And is that the was 2007 when we had our first canine officer?
That is correct.
Dingo?
Okay. Yes.
And so, how did you apply for that job, or why did you think that that would be an ideal direction to go?
Well, when I started out in law enforcement, I started out up in Holmes County at the sheriff's office there, and I trained with a gentleman by the name of Wade Johnson. He was the canine handler at the time in Holmes County. I done a lot of the decoy work, took the bites from the dog, trained with the dogs, and it was just a passion that I've always had ever since I've been in law enforcement.
Have you been an animal lover, a dog lover, or owned dogs before?
I have. Anything from hunting dogs to just your round-the-mill pet that, you know, lap dog, basically. So, yes.
Okay. And so you've handled Dingo and then Hanada as well?
That is correct. Dingo was my first dog. He started in, like I said, 2007, and then after he retired, we got Canine Hanada.
Okay. And then more recently, we have a second canine unit now. Stephen Mox here with us. And just real quick, Steve, I'll talk to you. How long have you been handling the canine units?
I've been a canine handler since 2017.
And is that when we got our second unit then?
Yes.
Okay. And so you handle Chili?
Correct.
And have you had any experience with law enforcement dogs or dogs before?
Before that, no. Besides when I first started to be interested in the sheriff's office, I rode with Detective Stone multiple times, and I trained with Stone. I took bites from Dingo, and then that became my passion. So then I applied to be a canine handler when the position opened up.
Okay, you took bites from Dingo. Explain that.
You put on the bite sleeve,
okay.
And you just help Stone train, do building searches, suspect apprehension. You just try to work on Dingo being a better, I guess, biter, I guess, for the most part.
Okay, and Dave, how long has Charlie been here now?
We've had Charlie about a year.
Okay.
I got her actually in May of last year. And she certified in June of last year, so she's actually been working the streets for nearly a year now.
Do these dogs go home with you?
They do.
Okay.
That's correct.
Do they sleep at the end of the bed at night?
It varies.
Are they companions when they're at home with you? I guess
they are not. Okay. We try to keep them somewhat because they are a working dog.
Yeah.
So these dogs are trained differently than your normal pet would be. So they're trained to apprehend suspects and stuff like that. So they do get a little bit of socialization. They get to go out and play and things of that nature. But for the most part, they're not treated as a household pet. They're in a kennel, oftentimes just to keep them away from the environment and make sure an accident doesn't happen. I don't think our dogs would intentionally ever bite somebody if a tail would get tramped on or something like that. And there would be an accidental bite, that would be catastrophic to our unit.
And do the both of you still do demonstrations on occasion?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of our favorite things to do. Yesterday we done Earth Day, and last weekend we done Black Bear Fest. Anytime anybody wants a canine demonstration, we're right on top of that. We love to go and do it. Anything from nursing homes to the school. So it's great. The people get to see what the dogs do. We get to explain to people, and they get a better understanding of what our unit's about. And a lot of people, you know, especially the younger kids, they perceive the police dog as like an attack dog. It's nice to be able to explain they're not an attack dog. They are an apprehension dog and a work dog, but they do it on command, and they do it when they're supposed to. So it's good to be able to, you know, see people understand what the unit runs like.
And Charlie is here with us today. Can you get her to say something? Okay. Just to let people know that, yeah, there really is a dog in the studio. Now, Dave, if people didn't see this dog with you, saw somebody walking this dog on a leash, a beautiful dog, there's nothing by looking at her that would indicate that, what she does.
Correct. She looks like... A lot of people confuse the Belgian Malinois breed with a German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
They are a smaller structure, and their aggression's a little higher than what a German Shepherd would be, typically. But, yeah, just to look at her, she has just regular stuff like a normal dog would have.
And about how much does she weigh?
She's right around 56 pounds,
okay.
Give or take a little.
Belgian Malinois, similar markings to a German Shepherd, maybe a little bit smaller than a German Shepherd, but they do resemble German Shepherds. Have all the canine units, have they all been Belgian Malinois or the better breeds?
We've had a Dutch Shepherd. Hinata was a Dutch Shepherd. And then canines in the past that we had, they were German Shepherds back before my time. So they're not always. And a lot of law enforcement agents still use Shepherds. I've just always been around this breed, so I'm comfortable with this breed, and they're just a little more over the top than what a German Shepherd would be, in my opinion. That's not always the case, but that is my opinion on that.
Okay, Sheriff, I got to bring you in here because I want you to explain that reaction. Was it the phrase "over the top"?
There's an inside joke going on. I prefer German Shepherds.
Okay.
However. When Detective Stone and I went canine shopping back in 2006, we came across Canine Dingo,
mm-hmm.
and he sold me on Belgian Malinois.
Okay.
But I am still a German Shepherd lover.
All right. Very good. Well, we will leave it at that. Now, do people own Belgian Malinois as pets or companion animals outside of law enforcement?
Absolutely.
I had never heard of the breed until are they
are used a lot in competition, Schutzen-type training and stuff like that. A Malinois is a herding dog, and with that being said, they are you have to have a lot of time to put into them. They require a lot of time, a lot of running, usually somebody with an active lifestyle type of dog.
Okay. Are they more popular in Belgium and Europe than they are here?
I would say probably so. Okay. That's where most of our dogs up before... Charlie had been imported from, so yes, probably so.
I want to talk a little bit about the training and how these dogs are training and what all goes into training a Belgian Malinois to be a canine deputy. We'll take a break and be back right after these words.
It's common to discuss ways to maintain our physical health, like regular exercise or a healthy diet. But good mental health should be part of the conversation. Find tools from ASA and USB on managing stress and seeking help at soygrowers.com. or #SoyHelp.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the Be Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let Be Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Some moments, like graduation, are always remembered. Gifts are like that. Those you remember had a certain thoughtfulness about them. That's the beauty of a gift from G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers. It says you considered the occasion and person and chose a gift of quality. As graduation approaches for someone you care for, we invite you to visit us at G.A. Fisher Jewelers. Tell us about the young man or woman, and we'll help you find a gift that shows your thoughtfulness. For every memorable moment, give a gift that will be remembered. From G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers in historic Roscoe Village, wouldn't you rather say it came from G.A. Fisher?
Coshocton Regional Medical Center is committed to prioritizing the safety of our patients. That promise of better care is reflected in our achievement of a Leapfrog Hospital Safety Grade A for safety excellence and a top 10% ranking for patient safety in the nation from Health Grades 2 years in a row. We strive to be the gold standard of care and have demonstrated that pledge to every patient with our commitment to patient safety. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Our Memorial Day sale is going on the whole month of May with $2,500 minimum for your trade-in only at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
I'm Jamie Freeman with Coshocton County Job and Family Services. Over this past year, the Leadership Coshocton County program has allowed me to get more acquainted with the history, services, and people within Coshocton. As someone that was not born and raised in this area, this program has provided me with the resources to become a better leader for my organization and the community by helping me to get to know my new home, see all the great things starting to happen and just on the horizon for this county. I'd recommend this program to transplants and locals alike to see what you can do to make yourself and Coshocton a better place to live and work. Applications to take part in next year's class can be found online at www.coshoctonfoundation.org or call 740-622-0010.
Only Best Heating and Air can give you authentic Lennox quality and service for your home's heating and cooling needs. They're the people you know and trust right in our community. With regular annual maintenance from Best Heating and Air, you can keep your air perfect year-round and your home's heating and cooling system running at peak performance. Think Best Heating and Air to keep your system running perfectly season after season. Call 740-545-9400 today or visit online at www.bestheatingandac.com to schedule an appointment today. Dealer license number 30482.
In today's society, it has become common for people to select their own memorial, taking the responsibility off family members at the time of need. This allows for the design of the monument that best symbolizes their lives. A special monument can say so much about the person they represent. This is Tim Milligan from Milligan Memorials, and for 107 years we have been providing the honest answers and quality products your family deserves. Stop by Milligan Memorials at 1132 Cemetery Drive and let our family help you create your own special lasting memorial.
Call Milligan Memorials at 622-5833.
Are you confused about the differences between independent living, assisted living, residential care, and nursing homes? The Dr. Donald E. Potts Foundation can help you determine the proper level of care for your loved one. Contact Derek Potts at 740-294-3072 to arrange a complimentary consultation.
Mostly sunny today, warm with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, clear with lows in the upper 50s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs around 80. Currently it is 67 degrees in Coshocton. Another beautiful day ahead of us today. And we are back once again with deputies Stephen Mox and Dave Stone and also K-9 Charlie here with us and Coshocton County Sheriff Jim Crawford. Now back in 2007, you weren't sheriff, but you were with the sheriff's office. Can you remember the circumstances under which we got our first K-9 unit?
Absolutely. we had the opportunity through donations back in 2007 for the canine program to get up and running. Like I said a little earlier, Detective Stone and I traveled to in search of a canine for the program. And when the process started, we had a the Coshocton Foundation through the Charlie Bechtel Fund offered to pay for the canine. And at the time, I think it was like $12,000 for the whole program.
The price has gone up since then.
And the price has gone up quite a bit since then. But, you know, I really need to thank our community for their support and donations for the canine program. With the purchase and training of the to get the program started, we have never had an issue finding a donor for that program. But it also takes more than just the purchase of the canine canine to continue the program, because every day we have to feed the dog, we have to take the dog to the vet. And throughout the year, we have citizens within our community that bring in donations to keep that program running. And I just can't thank them enough. Our community is very supportive of the canine program. When we go out and do demonstrations, and I encourage our guys to do the demonstrations because it's getting them in front of the community, seeing how obedient they are, seeing what how they interact with each other, how they interact with the community. You know, our dogs are social. Not every canine out there is social, so we always address that with the people we're doing the demonstration with, because as Detective Stone said a little earlier, Deputy Wade Johnson had a Belgian Malinois in Holmes County who happens also to be a Coshocton native, grew up on Loder, grew up out on County Road 58. But Wade had a canine that I would say was not very social, but he did his job. Where I prefer to have the canines that are social, so people can come up and pet when allowed. But through our donations, again, Canine Dingo was purchased through the Charlie Bechtel Fund. Canine Hanada was purchased through the Charlie Bechtel Fund, and Canine Chili. And then Canine Rip, who I'm happy to announce, was just certified this week.
Okay, this is breaking news here, isn't it?
This is breaking news.
We've got three now.
We now have three canines in at York Coshocton County Sheriff's Office through, again, donations. And Canine Rip was purchased by Jason Given, our Coshocton County prosecutor, through drug forfeiture money. And without his donation, we wouldn't have the third canine. And this allows us to put a canine on shift every day, and that was a goal of mine. I want to have the availability of the canine program through interdiction, through being available for lost hunters, lost children. We seem to be getting more calls on seniors that are experiencing an onset of dementia. They wander off, so we want to be able to track them quickly. And through the donations, we were able to add the third canine. And Canine Rip is handled by Deputy Jeremy Johnson, who is an outstanding officer, and we're looking forward to great things from Canine Rip and Johnson.
Okay, so obviously a third canine now. So, and do all counties in Ohio, just using Ohio as an example, have a canine unit?
No, they don't. Sad to say, that not every community has the either the funding or the budget to allow them to have the canine program, and or they don't have the donors for it. You know, there's some counties in Ohio that they have one officer per shift. You know, we're very fortunate in Coshocton County by having the city contract to provide law enforcement. We have probably more deputies than most of counties our size. But most of your bigger agencies in Ohio are going to have canines pretty much on every shift. Counties our size, it's probably a 50-50 who has canines and who doesn't.
And we have three of them now.
And we have three of them, yes.
And I guess we'll get to the training here in a little bit. But what all you've already illustrated, they can find people that are,
yes,
are lost. What else do they do? What all do they do?
Well, your canine is going to be certified on tracking, criminal apprehension, article searches, and drugs. Through our interdiction program, our dogs are going to indicate whether there's probable cause to do a search on a vehicle. Drugs is a big issue right now for us. And not just for Coshocton, for every county in Ohio. We've seen an uptick since the pandemic, and, you know, we're trying to combat it. And by adding that third canine, we are going to combat it. We're going to go after it strong.
Can they sniff, detect a variety of different drugs?
Deputy Stephen Mox has a very good presentation that he does on the dog scent, and I'll let him address that.
Deputy Mox, and maybe we can get into the training a little bit, but what all can they sniff out?
So they they're trained to indicate on methamphetamines, crack cocaine, cocaine, and heroin. In demos, we always talk about how strong the dog's noses are.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 10,000 times stronger than the human nose. So whenever we do a demo, I usually give this little scenario. If somebody's walking into a room with, like, vegetables, and somebody's cooking vegetable soup, if we walk into a room, all we smell is vegetable soup. When the dogs walk into the room, they actually are able to break down each ingredient, and it actually goes back into what we call an olfactory gland, and they actually taste what they smell. So they are able to tell the difference between the meat, the vegetables, and everything else. So when they, say, Detective Stone makes a traffic stop on a vehicle, and I bring my canine up to the vehicle, I can then run my canine Chili around the vehicle and have him do a sniff of the airspace around the car. And if there's an odor of narcotics in that vehicle, then he will give a final indication that allows us to search the vehicle without getting a search warrant.
How efficient are they? In other words, when they indicate, are you pretty certain that there's some illicit substances in the vehicle?
Very rarely do we never find anything. The Texas Stone always likes to use the movie theater, for example. You walk into a movie theater after it closes, and there's smell popcorn. You always smell popcorn, whether there's popcorn in there or not. It's the same thing with the odor of narcotics. If we make a traffic stop on a vehicle and the dogs alert on it, we don't find anything. It doesn't mean that the dogs are wrong. If they had narcotics in there the day before, then the dog's still going to alert on that because their noses are so strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's sensitive enough to pick up even the smallest amount. So they can find people or search for people that are lost. How effective or efficient are they at that?
We're pretty efficient at it. I know about 4 or 5 years ago, Detective Stone and K-9 Hinata, we got sent out to the county because a 3- and 4-year-old got lost in the woods. Stone got there first and started tracking with K-9 Hinata, and he was able to find them probably within 20, 25 minutes. They were about a mile away from the house. We track missing suspects. We track suspects, missing juveniles, like Sheriff said, and missing adults as well, missing hunters.
Okay, and missing people and alerting on drugs. What about simply being used to apprehend suspects? Are they used for that sole purpose?
Yes, we do apprehend suspects, but it is a last resort. normally we like to try to give the we always try to give the chance for the suspect to give up. We always give canine warnings. Sometimes we're not always able to do that, but we always try to make sure we do that. I believe Canine Chili has 2 street bites in 5 years. Canine Hanada had 2. Then Canine Dingo, before times of change, had 14 street bites. So we don't do it all the time, but they are. We do do it when it's necessary.
Well, and Detective Stone, I think you have told me before that just the prospect, when you give that warning that you're about to release the dog, more often than not, that will bring the suspect into compliance?
That is correct. Over the years, starting with Dingo, 90% of the time the suspect's going to give up when they hear the dog. Excuse me, especially back when we had Dingo. You could always tell when you would roll up to an establishment on a bar fight or something like that, and Dingo was, everybody was know Dingo because he was notorious for hitting that cage, and he was a very voice, had a loud voice, and he would hit that cage as soon as I pulled on the scene with the dog, and at a bar fight it seemed to calm things down, and you would usually gain peace fairly quick with the presence of the dog.
So the sheriff's office had some regular customers, we'll call them, that became familiar with the dog. And
we did, especially back in the day of Dingo. Yeah, there was some definitely regular customers that were very familiar with him.
And she is just laying there calm as can be right now. And again, beautiful dog looking at you right in the eyes. Now, you don't characterize them as companion animals, or they're not companions, but you got to have some sort of relationship. How would you describe that?
There's definitely a relationship between the handler and the dog. I mean, I'm with her as much as I'm with my family, to be quite honest with you. I'm actually more because, you know, I'm at home with my family and she's there. And then at work, she's always with me at work. And she pretty much goes with me wherever I go. So there is a very, very close relationship. She's probably, out of all the dogs that I've had, she's probably closer to me than the other two dogs that I've had. Dingo, he didn't rely on me much at all. He could do as he done his own thing. And the same with Hanada. You know, they're kind of their own dog and had their own thought process. She looks to me a little more than what they did, and that's kind of neat to see.
That dog owners will tell you, even dogs within the same breed all have their own distinctive personalities.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's the case with these guys.
Yes, absolutely. A working dog usually has a very big personality, and that's been the case with all of our working dogs as well.
All right. Sheriff, we've illustrated what all that they do. How would you characterize, in the whole big scheme of things, the importance of the canine units to law enforcement here locally?
They're invaluable. Without the canine program, we wouldn't be where we are today in the apprehensions and or drug convictions. They have proven themselves over and over again, and that is, again, why I was pushing for a third canine. We just see the benefits over and over, just through the education process, and through the patrol. You know, they are the canine handler's partner. So, you know, a lot of times we'll send 2 officers to a report of whether it's a domestic or an assault or whatever. If we get a canine unit heading that way, we actually have a little bit better sense of calm because we know the canine's there. It just reassures us that there's somebody watching our brother's back, and the canine's always there to protect their handler.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking a little bit about how close the canine is to the handler. Just going to retirement of the canine. We have always allowed the canine handler at the retirement of the canine to purchase that canine. And they buy it for $1.
Mm-hmm.
And because they do build that relationship up with their canine partner, you wouldn't be able to separate them if you wanted to.
Okay. You did that with Dingo, didn't you?
That is correct. Okay.
Dingo and Hanada. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is Hanada still?
Hanada is still around. Okay. She's enjoying retirement. I don't know if she's enjoying retirement, but she's retired. Hanada and Dingo both were very passionate about this. They loved being in the back of the car. Dingo, for example, you know, the first day I took Hanada to work and left him behind, I come home and he'd taken Hanada's blanket out of her kennel and shredded it in front of the front door to make sure that I knew he was upset that this wasn't a good thing. So, and Hanada's the same way. You kind of feel bad. But you want them to be able to enjoy the last couple years of their life as well, not being in the back of a cop car riding around. But Hanada still to this day, when I go out, when I let them out in the morning, she'll go stand at the back door wanting to go. Mm-hmm. So it hurts a little bit to watch them and tell them to go back in because, you know, it kind of upsets them. So, but that's, you know, it's the way it goes. Once they get to a certain age, their hips start getting sore. And, you know, it's just best for them to be retired.
Is she a friend, a companion now?
Hanada is. Mm-hmm. She's been a pretty loving dog all along, but she is definitely, she's one of the house dogs now. So she's transitioned well.
And how long does this breed typically live? What's the lifespan?
You're looking about the same as a regular dog. They're working years anywhere. You can go, it just depends on the health, obviously, but working years, you can go anywhere from 8 to 10 years, sometimes less, sometimes longer. It just depends on health issues. So, but typically the smaller breed dog, you can get a little more time out of just because they don't have the hip issues like a bigger dog would have. And, you know, they're just smaller, so their health is overall better than what a regular house dog would be. I mean, they eat a high-protein dog food, and they get regimented on what they actually get to eat. And they get vet-checked annually, and our dogs have always been right where they need to be. The vets are always very impressed when we take our dogs in. They're like, you have your dog right where they need to be. So we try and keep that regimen of food right where it needs to be to keep them at their optimal level.
Okay, and they get the primo stuff, right?
Yeah, they do. They definitely do.
Okay. All right. So now the training. I've been wanting to ask about the training. Where are these dogs trained? Where do they come from? What's the process? Who produces these animals?
It depends. We'll start back with Dingo. Like I said, Dingo was imported from overseas. Hanada the same, and I believe Chile was as well. So these dogs are started at 6 weeks old is the earliest that I've heard that they can actually be started. And it just starts with tugging and the apprehension type of training and just seeing where these puppies' drives are. And then whoever's starting their training, they'll just build from there and start doing the odor recognition and stuff like that. Charlie was actually purchased from Mary Canine Services in Muskingum County. John Mary was the master trainer there. So he had started her from a very young age, and then she was actually sent to Minnesota to a trainer and done obedience and introduction to drug work and stuff like that, and then got shipped back to us after she was complete, and that's the finished product that we have. But it's actually quite a process. The training is ongoing for us. We have every Tuesday to train. We train fairly aggressive. I would say our training is fairly aggressive and scenario-based. We do a lot of scenario-based stuff. And it showed in many, many different occasions in patrol work and in live calls that our training has come to fruition. And, you know, we've practiced that. A lot of the calls we go to, you might have loud music playing. So we'll go into, for instance, at the fire department up in Warsaw, we have a speaker in there in the weight room, and we'll put a bad guy decoy in there and have that music blare. And we just give the dogs as many different scenarios that they might run into in real life to have them ready for that so they don't fail when they need to be at their best.
Picking up a set of a person, for example, is the training positive reinforcement? How does the dog learn to associate doing its job?
All of our dog is positive reinforcement. Even the negative ends with a positive with our dogs. They do need correction on occasion. But at the end of the training day, there's always a positive at the end. We don't ever go at the end of a training day with a negative with these dogs. They do what they do just because of that. They come to work and they want to have that ball. They want to have that bite sleeve and train with that type of stuff because it's so positive for them.
Okay. And the bite sleeve and the demonstrations you do, the dogs enjoy doing that?
They absolutely love it. Bite work with the bite sleeves and stuff is probably one of the dogs' favorite things to do. Narcotics is obviously our bread and butter. That's what we focus a lot on, but we train very hard in every aspect of canine that there is. Tracking, Mox and I both really enjoy tracking. And our dogs track a little differently. So our dogs track on ground disturbance rather than human, like a piece of clothing, you know, like a bloodhound would do. Our dogs track if you walk through the grass or you walk across the pavement, you disturb that. Even if it's pavement, when you're walking across it, you're disturbing that in some fashion. And that's primarily what our dogs track. Now, the human body drops scent too, and they pick up that odor as well, but they're primarily tracking that ground disturbance. And so if we would have somebody missing at Lake Park, we would definitely, something like that, we use that as an example, we would definitely attempt to track. But we have other people in our county. I don't know if you're familiar with Janie Stahl. She has bloodhounds. We would utilize her on often occasions where there's been a lot of ground contamination, because a bloodhound can distinctly, like, if tell different odors of, like, clothing items, we'll say a hat or a pair of socks or something to that effect. She can give her dog that specific odor, and her dog will track. So we would utilize that dog for that type of a track if need be.
All right. And, Sheriff, we have three units now. So 24/7 now, we've got canine coverage?
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. Yeah, need a fourth one for that.
Well, how much action do they see? How much time do they spend riding in the back of the vehicle versus actually going out on calls?
You know, that's really hard to say. Our patrol canine units, they're running 12-hour shifts, so the canines may only be utilized a few times. If we're running a traffic blitz, they could be out 20-plus times in a 4-hour block. So it just depends on what activities we have going on that day and how much utilization they get. You know, our canine unit is trained in interdiction. They look for the suspicious vehicle, the left of center, the anything that gives them indication that you know, they could be running drugs. Okay. I would really love to have them doing interdiction all 12 hours of the day, but we have calls that we have to handle. We have to serve our community. So the canine patrol is handling those type of calls, and knowing, again, that they're partners with them, we have a little more comfort knowing that their backup is right behind them or right beside them. But as far as utilization, I mean, they get utilized a lot, but as putting a number on is pretty hard.
Okay. Well, recently the sheriff's office has had a number of drug enforcement. I know we can't give a lot of details of the latest, but how instrumental or what part do the dogs play in those types of situations?
I'll defer that to Detective Stone.
That can vary. There are a lot of the drug busts are canine related, but a lot of them are also related to the detective division. And Detective Whitehall, who's now running the narcotics part of the detective division. So him and I work hand in hand. It's really great that we have a great partnership. Matt Whitehall is our new drug agent, and he'll relay information to me, and then if I get something, we have a very good information sharing thing going with our canine unit now and our drug unit. So it really is a huge benefit to be able to give each other information back and forth. The detectives as a whole, and not only the detectives, but in all honesty, the whole sheriff's office as a whole, anywhere from the dispatch to the road patrol, admin, and the detectives, we all have to take part in and that to make it a success, because they're the ones that share information, and that's basically what makes us successful, is information sharing from the other units, and us giving them information on vehicles to watch for so we know who to stop. But back to the question at hand, I guess, with Matt and I, we work together a lot. He'll work different areas. He'll let me know, hey, I see this vehicle, and he'll, if I'm in the area, I'll go work that area and try to get a probable cause to make a stop on the vehicle. Or it necessarily doesn't need to be a vehicle. It can be somebody walking down the street, somebody on a bicycle, anything. So that is a great tool for us to have, for him and I to be able to work together. And it's been very productive this year for us to be able to have that connection.
During a typical day, if there even is such a thing, what's the procedure? How do you know when? What's the most common thing that the canine unit is called for? What's the procedure in bringing the dog to a scene?
It could be anything, but primarily it's going to be narcotics enforcement, drug enforcement. My title is a drug interdiction officer. That's what my title in the detective division is, and that's just what I do, is go out and work narcotics. I'm pretty fortunate. I don't have to handle as many patrol calls as the regular other canines, so that frees up my time to do drug enforcement and go out and make traffic stops. I may be out sitting on the four lane, or I may be in town working, and I have that flexibility to be able to go pretty much wherever I want to go within the county and do drug enforcement. So that's, for me, it's going to be drug enforcement and out making traffic stops, trying to get heavyweight coming into town, or even the locals that oftentimes have a little less, getting them in a traffic stop and trying to get them help or get the charge that's deemed necessary at the time.
We are talking with Dave Stone, Stephen Mox, and Sheriff Jim Crawford from the Sheriff's Office about the K-9 unit, and K-9 Deputy Charlie here in the studio with us as well. We'll be back around one more time right after these words.
Keep your vehicle on the road with new tires or mechanical work from Shriver Tire Service. Take advantage of these rebates at Shriver Tire Service. Purchase 4 qualifying Kumho tires and receive up to a $100 instant rebate. Purchase 4 qualifying Nexen tires and receive up to a $140 instant rebate. Shriver Tire offers new tires for passenger, truck, and farm vehicles, as well as light mechanical work. Custom wheels are now available, as well as financing. Again, now through the end of the month, receive instant rebates when you purchase 4 qualifying Kumho or Nexen tires. For more information, stop by 2171 Otsego Avenue or give them a call at 622-6989.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the Be Dry Lottery Line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let Be Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
MVHC Urgent Care provides health care without the wait. Their locations offer extended hours and are fully equipped with x-ray and lab services. You do not have to be an MVHC patient to utilize their urgent care services. Visit one of their convenient locations in Coshocton for all of your urgent health care needs.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
Call a Jeff Durden Ford Sportsline at 623-9867. Hi, I'm Jamie Rice. Join us for our Memorial Day sale with $2,500 minimum for your trade-in during the month of May, only at Jeff Durden Ford.
This look at the weather is brought to you by 26 Truck Repair. 26 Truck Repair offers a full-service diesel repair shop. They also carry Interstate batteries, Fleet Guard filters, hydraulic hoses, and many other parts. Call 26 Truck Repair at 740-202-2350 to schedule an appointment.
Mostly sunny today, warm with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, clear with lows in the upper 50s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs around 80. And we are back with the folks from the sheriff's office talking about the canine unit this morning. And Charlie's taking a little snooze right now, I see.
She is. I think we wore her out this morning.
And, well, we've lots of great information this morning, and certainly the canine units, a good source of public relations as well. Most people love dogs and like to talk about the dogs. You talked about this a little bit earlier, but when you're out doing demonstrations and sharing with the public, and you have Charlie or Chili with you, do you let kids come up and pet her or touch her, or what do you do there?
Well, that's actually kind of a sensitive subject.
You go to the airport and you see people with service dogs, and it says do not pet.
Right, and as a general rule, we do not allow it. With that being said, however, these dogs are pretty social and laid back. But you have to be careful. You have to be super cautious of what's going on with the dog, because it only takes one accident. Because these dogs at the end of the day are working dogs. Do we like to have the people in the community to be able to interact and pet our dogs? We definitely do, but they are working dogs and they are trained to bite. And when they do bite, it's not like a regular dog biting. These dogs are trained to bite and hold on. So most dogs bite out of fear. These dogs don't bite out of fear. They bite out of their job, and they are trained to bite hard. So we will let people on occasion pet the dogs, but as a general rule, we try to steer away from that, especially with kids. It only takes one person to tramp on a dog's paw or something like that, and not that our dogs would intentionally bite somebody, but if they got their paw tramped on and bit somebody, that would be the horrible for them, horrible for the office, and it's just something we don't want to ever have to encounter.
Well, again, thank you all for being with us today. What else would you like to share with us that maybe we haven't touched on this morning, if anything?
Well, the only thing I can think that we probably haven't touched on is Canine Chili. He's got about a year until he sees retirement. He's starting to show his age a lot. Actually, we trained hard last Tuesday, and you could really tell the day after he was sore. Mox called me and said, hey, he's holding his paw up. He's getting really sore. And when you start seeing those little things, it's getting close to time to look into other options. And so he's not too far off from retirement. He has served Mox well. He has served the Coshocton citizens and the sheriff's office well. So he's been a great dog as far as that goes. And then the other thing is just to thank everybody. And it takes a lot to make our unit successful. It's not only the handlers and the dogs. It's our admin. Our admin, they're wonderful. The sheriff, Lieutenant Hardway, and Captain Bryant, they have always been 100% behind us in what we do. Training, if we need to go to an advanced training, most of our dogs get advanced training well beyond what a normal canine unit would see. If we need to go to a class, I don't recall ever being not sent to a class that we've requested to go to make our dogs better and to make it better for our community. And with that, we got our other divisions, our detectives, our patrol division, our dispatchers. All that plays a huge part in us, because when we're out for an interdiction, for example, when we're out, the dispatchers, there's only two of them in dispatch. So when we're out doing our interdiction, they're getting all the regular traffic, plus they're getting us making, you know, if we're doing an interdiction, it's not out of the realm to do 50 stops, you know. So they have all that, and they handle it with stride. They do a wonderful job. And then right up onto the prosecutor's office, you have Jason Given, Ben Hall, Christy Thornsley. It doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you can call any of those three at the prosecutor's office, and they don't mind. They'll give you the information you need if you have a question. Jason, Ben, and Christy, they're the best to work with. I've worked at other agencies, and you just don't have that closeness with your prosecutor's office that we have. So we as a canine unit are very fortunate to have all that resource at our disposal. And then you have, you know, the Coshocton Foundation, Charlie and Dorothy Bechtel, and Kathy. I want to mention Kathy. She has continued to be a huge support. She is just a blessing to me. Actually, her and I, through the dog program, her and I, anytime she comes to Coshocton, we do lunch and we catch up, and she has continued to support us as well. So we're just fortunate to have all that. And we love going out. If anybody wants a canine demo or a demonstration, we love to go out and do it. We do them for any organization. It can be a church organization, schools, anything like that. We do Coshocton leadership, adult and youth leadership. We have just a great time going out and showing off the dog skill set.
Well, with Rip on the job now, and with Chili's retirement on the horizon, are the wheels turning for yet another canine down the road?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to definitely keep the canine program going. We don't want to lose ground that we've gained over the years. And when that time comes, we'll be on in the search for yet a replacement for canine Chili.
Well, I want to thank you all for being here with us today, and canine Charlie as well. Sheriff, what else would you like to mention before we wrap up today?
Two real quick things. The first on socialization, we were talking about petting the dogs and so forth. I want the community to understand we currently have two very young canines, and they're in the program, and so the handlers are going to be very cautious and overwatch of them until they get familiar and know what their capabilities are around people. Number two, Detective Stone talked about certifications of the dog. I would like to have him talk about certifications of the handler.
What certification, what training did you need to go through to become a handler of a canine unit? Whichever of you, I guess, Detective Stone, you've been nominated.
It sounds that way. It would appear that way. We certify as a team. We have 6 weeks that we work together. And basically, you're learning the dog's behavior changes, things such as that. And I believe what the sheriff is referring to, that I recently took the canine trainer instructor school. So I'm now certified to actually train and certify a police dog. So, and that was a 5-week program that I took through Mary Canine Services. So it's nice to be able to have that within our office and to help our office in the future.
Is that something that that you would explore training dogs for others, or just exclusively ours here at Coshocton County?
I would probably definitely explore that in the future. That's a little ways out for me, but yes, definitely. I've been doing this since 2007, so I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on what it takes to get a canine where they need to be. But it takes all of us. I mean, but you have to be very open to new styles of training. Training now is very different than it was back when I started training Dingo. So you have to be open, and you have to read what the dog's telling you and be able to understand that, okay, this isn't working, so I'm going to have to do an audible here and go to something else. Dogs kind of learn like people. So they learn different ways. Dogs are visual, and that's a big part of how they're trained. But it takes different methods. And part of going through that trainer school with John Mary through Mary Canine Services, you kind of learn that, and you run through that and get to see what the actual putting the work into the dog is. Because oftentimes handlers, they get a dog, and the dog's pretty well green trained, and you basically have a dog that's ready to go. It's a cookie cutter dog sometimes, and so you don't know the work that it takes to keep these dogs where they're at until you're actually put in that position to help do that.
Sheriff, anything else today?
I just wanted to give credit to Detective Stone for a well-deserved 5 weeks of certification and becoming an instructor in the canine program. It's a huge asset to us. It's a huge asset to him and to our community, and I definitely wanted to recognize that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all for what you do, and I thank you as well, Charlie. Can Deputy Stone, can you get Charlie to say goodbye to our listeners today?
Give lots. I don't know. She's pretty hard. Give lots. Give lots. I don't think we're going to
get it. She's here. Boy, those ears went right up, though, and
I don't think we're going to get it.
Right. Well, again, thank you all for being with us today. It is 10:27. It has been a pleasure. There she goes. And let's get our national and international news now from the AP.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. We have to do everything we can to save as many lives as possible. That's what President Biden is saying this morning at a virtual summit on the COVID pandemic as the nation approaches 1 million deaths from COVID.
Today, we mark a tragic milestone here in the United States. 1 million COVID deaths. 1 million empty chairs around the family dinner table. Each irreplaceable.
Johns Hopkins University puts the number who've died from COVID in the U.S. at nearly 999,000 and more than 6.2 million people globally. The president's calling on Congress to provide more funding for testing, vaccines, and treatments, something lawmakers have been unwilling to do so far. This morning, Moscow is warning that the war in Ukraine could turn into a nuclear war. Russia's angry that the West is providing weapons to Ukraine. The AP's Karen Shama says, meanwhile, the war goes on.
Russian forces have continued to pound a steel mill in the southeastern Ukrainian town of Mariupol and have pressed on their advance on towns in eastern Ukraine. The airstrikes on the Avostal steel plant came as Ukraine offered to release Russian prisoners in exchange for the safe evacuation of badly injured Ukrainian fighters holed up inside the plant. Ukraine's deputy prime minister has said that negotiations for the swap were underway.
Damaging winds, heavy rain, and a few reports of tornadoes in Minnesota, where one person died in a crash caused by downed power lines, according to authorities. Producer prices soared 11% in April from a year earlier. That's a sign that high inflation will remain a burden for consumers and businesses in the months ahead. A few more Americans applied for unemployment last week, but the total number on unemployment is still at the lowest level in more than five decades. This is AP News. The AP's Oscar Wells Gabriel reports that the film company behind the movie Rust is fighting a fine.
Last month, New Mexico officials levied a $137,000 fine on Rust Movie Productions for numerous workplace safety violations on the set where Alec Baldwin fatally shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins last year. Now producers are formally challenging that finding. In their response, they say they did not willingly violate any safety rules and enforced the ones that were on the books. They also claim that the law allows movie producers to delegate the task of things like firearm safety to experts in the field instead of handling those jobs themselves. In its report, workplace safety officials said that producers failed to act after two other gun misfires on set before the one that killed the cinematographer. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
Wall Street opened down this morning. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
It is 10:30. We have 30 minutes of open phone lines starting right now. 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. And enjoyed speaking with the folks from the sheriff's office this morning and spending some time with K-9 Deputy Charlie. She is a beautiful dog, and again, the Belgian Malinois, her marking similar to that of a German Shepherd, not quite as big as a German Shepherd, but the same shape and pointy ears and markings. So we can talk about the canine unit if you would like. We can talk about whatever you'd like between now and 11 o'clock this morning, 740-622-1560. This lost and found pet information is brought to you by New Wave Motors. An older chocolate lab with a broken chain attached was found on County Road 19. This dog has been taken to the animal shelter, and their phone number is 740-622-9741. And also, two male beagles, brown and white, wearing black collars, were lost on Township Road 350, and that's up in the Spring Mountain area. That phone number is 740-502-3080. This lost and found pet information was brought to you by New Wave Motors. And this word from the county engineer's office, County Road 24 in Bethlehem Township, is closed today between Township Road 45 and Township Road 35 until about 4 p.m., and that is for culvert replacement. It is 10:32. We'll be right back.
Community Hospice, your local nonprofit hospice, is looking to add teams for their second annual Spring Swing Golf Outing fundraising event. Spring Swing is May 26th at River Greens Golf Course. Registration and lunch start at 11:30 a.m. Enjoy a day of golf fun and contests while supporting patient care. For more information, call Mona at Community Hospice, 330-663-6490 or email msayre@myhospice.org.
Save big this month at your local Napa Auto Parts stores. During May, you can save 25% on Armor All wipes. You can also save up to 40% on Blue Devil block sealer and head gasket repair, now starting at $14.99. For the right parts at the right price, stop at your local Napa Auto Parts stores in Coshocton or Dresden. Remember, your Coshocton Napa store is now located across from the bowling alley on South 2nd Street.
Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
If you turn 65 this year, you are eligible for Medicare. To help you understand your choices and possibility of financial assistance, the Ohio Department of Insurance is holding Welcome to Medicare events across the state. So join us at a free event near you. Make sure your plan suits your budget and your needs. For more information, contact the Ohio Department of Insurance at 1-800-686-1578 or go online at insurance.ohio.gov.
It's the little moments that have the biggest impact. Every time you mentor a child or donate your time or money, you empower their future. You can help make a difference and be a hero in the eyes of a child, one simple act of encouragement at a time. Positive childhoods lead to promising futures. Help prevent child abuse and neglect in your community. Learn more at octf.ohio.gov.
Where are you, woman? Old lady, she has to do everything herself, which includes telling you about our show, Grey Gardens. Why, it's one of the most renowned homes in America with relation to Jacqueline Kennedy, don't you know? Shows are May 6th, 7th, 13th, 14th, 20th, and 21st at 7:30 p.m. and on May 15th at 2:30 p.m. at the Triple Ox Theater. Get your tickets at www.footlikeplayers.com or by calling 622-2959. See you there, kittens!
WTNS is looking for the right person to join our team. If you want to help local businesses with their marketing needs, we want to talk with you. If you want to learn more, find out by calling me, Chris Wallace, at 622-1560 or by emailing your information to WTNS993@yahoo.com. Again, that's WTNS993@yahoo.com. WTNS AM/FM is an equal opportunity employer.
The West Lafayette Branch Library is inviting youth from grades 3 to 12 to tween and teen time at the branch on the third Thursday of each month. Tweens and teens can meet up with friends, play games, make art, and enjoy snacks and pop. The next event will be held on Thursday, May 19th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Please register at coshoctonlibrary.org or by calling 740-545-6672.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
At Dean's Jewelry, we believe every relationship is unique.
And what better way to celebrate that unique love than with a beautiful custom-designed engagement ring from Dean's Jewelry?
We will get to know you and your story to help you create a ring as unique as your love.
If you want to incorporate old jewelry into your new engagement ring, we can do that too.
Schedule your custom design appointment today and propose with a one-of-a-kind custom-designed ring from Dean's Jewelry. Coshocton in Mount Vernon.
This look at the weather is brought to you by Edie's Homestyle Diner at 611 Main Street, now open daily 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Whether you dine in or carry out, you'll get homestyle cooking at an affordable price. Call 740-623-8131 for carryout orders or stop in at 611 Main Street. And remember, save room for a delicious slice of homemade pie.
Mostly sunny skies today, warm with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, clear, lows in the upper 50s, and for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies today with highs around 80. Currently, it is 71 degrees in Coshocton. Now, folks, I know it's getting a little late in the program here, but we do have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock this morning, so let me know what's on your mind today. If you do want to give kudos to the Sheriff's Office and the K-9 unit, you can do that. We had quite a discussion for a couple of days about Roe versus Wade earlier in the week. Tomorrow's Friday, so we're going to lighten up. So if you want to weigh in on those issues facing our society, today's the day to do so. And gas prices, well, they started creeping back down there for a week or two, and now they are higher than ever. So those are some things that we can chat about. The Cleveland Guardians game got canceled yesterday. It was the first game of the season that had to be canceled or postponed because of COVID, but COVID is still out there. Now, COVID wreaked havoc on the last couple of seasons, and it's because of COVID within the Cleveland Indians organization, Terry Francona and others. So it still remains to be seen what is going to happen tomorrow. We can chat about that if you would like. The Guardians at 500 now, but they have been fun to watch. Some of those young players are coming through. Josh Naylor among the league leaders in batting average and runs batting in. Manny Ramirez, last I checked, I don't know if it's still the case, leading the league in runs batted in. And some of the other youngsters coming through as well. So they might just have a makings of a team on the rise. And when you are a young team, and this is a pattern I've noticed in lots of sports, even at the college level, when you've got a young team, the potential of improvement is much greater throughout the course of a season than if you got a team full of veterans. So a lot of, even though the Guardians are 500 right now, a lot to look forward to. And the Reds and the Tigers are on the horizon. So we'll hope that, well, neither of those teams catch fire when they play Cleveland. So we can talk sports if you'd like. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about your garden. My seedlings, they are all out on the patio now. We aren't quite to the frost-free day, which is May the 15th, but no chance of frost in the immediate forecast, so they're going to stay out on the patio, harden for a couple of more days, and then I'll start the process of putting them into buckets. And I did scale it back this year. I'm glad I did, because it still took up more space than I thought it was going to, but I got about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 varieties of peppers, maybe 8 varieties of tomatoes. I know that sounds like a lot, but it's nothing what I did last year. Overdid it last year. So we can talk about your garden, the gardens, or whatever else is on your mind between now and 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Do you have a long to-do list and a short amount of time to deal with insurance coverage? Let the multitasker's best friend, your local Grange independent agent, use their expertise to save you money.
At the Jacobs Bannon Agency, the Grange independent agent, we're specialists at comparing insurance companies and rates for busy people. Contact the Jacobs Bannon Agency at 622-1796 or visit our website at www.jacobsbannon.com.
Products not available in all states.
Are you thinking of any home improvements this spring? Wilson Carpet and Furniture has select styles of Dreamweaver carpet up to $1 off per square yard, or choose from one of Cortex luxury vinyl tile or planks, which are 100% waterproof, kid-proof, and pet-proof. And don't forget your windows. We have the perfect window dressing, Graber blinds. You can choose from a large variety of quality custom-made window coverings. Wilson Carpet and Furniture, 230 Main Street, Coshocton.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Every volunteer firefighter is driven by a different inspiration. For some, it's the passion for serving their community. Others want to set an example for their kids. Or it could just be the sense of family that comes from working with neighbors. What fuels your fire? You don't need prior experience to join. Find out more information by calling 740-502-3809 or stop by the Jackson Township Fire Department, 887 State Route 541 West, just outside of Coshocton. Paid training may be available for those who qualify.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Our Memorial Day sale is going on the whole month of May with $2,500 minimum for your trade-in only at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Mayday, mayday, mayday! No, my ship's not sinking, but DeRusso's Sausage is coming this week.
Just when you thought you couldn't make it any longer, DeRusso's is coming to your rescue. Arriving at Han Oil today through Friday from 11 to 7, serving those delicious DeRusso sausage sandwiches and fresh squeezed lemonade. Nothing better than a day in May with a DeRusso sausage. Lafayette Point in West Lafayette offers 24/7 skilled nursing care, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, memory care, and much more to help you reach your maximum potential. They accept most insurances. For more information, call Cody, the admissions coordinator, at 740-545-6355.
Mostly sunny today and warm with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, clear with the lows in the upper 50s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with highs around 80 degrees. Currently it is 71 in Coshocton. Let's take a phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. Hey, I keep hearing the news about the demolition of the property on 18th Street. Where the little girl's life was taken.
Oh, yeah, on Upper Chestnut Street, yeah?
Upper Chestnut, close
to 18th Street, yeah.
Yeah. I just want people to maybe think of it a little differently than just a murder scene. I have family that lived there forever. And, you know, I have good memories of that house. And, you know, I just want people to think there's more, you know, to the story of that house than just the unfortunate incident that happened.
Yeah, you say you had a family that lived in that house?
Yes, okay. For many, many years.
Sure.
When I was a child, and I'm 60.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, that was a place where we played in the pool
right.
And, you know, spent time with cousins. But, you know, I understand it's a horrible thing that happened, but, you know, people just need to, I don't know, when they call what they call it the murder scene or whatever, you know, I kind of cringe because that was one of my childhood play places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you have a perspective that you know what it looks like or looked like inside,
exactly.
it's not in good shape
exactly.
Now. But you've got memories attached to it, and whether it's a murder scene or where something is building is brought down for whatever reason, maybe it's just
right.
Getting old. You have memories
true.
And attachments of those buildings. So I understand.
Yeah, and I just want people to, you know, remember there's more to it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, thank you for calling. It is 10:46, 71 degrees in Coshocton, and open phone lines between now and 11 o'clock of this morning, and a house, and Jeremy had the story, I think it was yesterday morning, or maybe this morning, about the fate of that house that will be coming down soon. But the last caller, a different perspective, had a family that lived there for a long time, and spent a considerable amount of time there, and has fond memories of her time there. So phone lines are open, and it's not... I guess it's not standard procedure to tear down homes where a murder has taken place, and the circumstances made it happen this time. And I say that because there are other houses. I can think of one in Coshocton where murders have taken place in the past that are still living. So phone lines are open. We can talk about that. And we do get attached to buildings. For those of you that are older and maybe you don't live in your childhood home anymore, but when you drive past that childhood home, brings back memories. Those memories start flooding back, don't they? So phone lines are open. If you'd like to add to that, or if there is something else that you would like to bring up, give me a call at 740-622-1560-1567 or 545-9284. Let's take a look at this date in history. This is Thursday, May the 12th. It's the 132nd day of 2022. There are 233 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history: on May the 12th, 1949, the Soviet Union lifted the Berlin blockade, which the Western powers had succeeded in circumventing with their Berlin aircraft. On this date in 1780, during the Revolutionary War, the besieged city of Charleston, South Carolina, surrendered to British forces. In 1932, the body of Charles Lindbergh Jr., the 20-month-old kidnapped son of Charles and Ann Lindbergh, was found in a wooded area near Hopewell, New Jersey. On this date in 1933, the Federal Emergency Relief Administration and the Agricultural Adjustment Administration were established to provide help for the needy and for farmers. 11 minutes till the top of the hour. I'm going to pause this date in history. Might finish it, might not. We do have a caller waiting, so let's get back to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, just wanted to let you know that the Sheriff's Department and everybody is wrong, because Mr. Mox was not the first canine handler. It was Rich Pica.
Well, now that I guess I do have a faint memory of that. Yeah,
back in late 80s, early
that was a
90s.
German Shepherd, wasn't it?
Yes.
Uh huh.
Yeah, because he was a handler back then. Because I remember watching bar fights outside. And
yeah,
Mr. Pika would come in there with his dog.
Yeah. Mm hmm.
That's all I
okay.
had to say.
Yeah, it is 10:49, and I think that caller's right, and that goes back a ways, a couple of decades. But we have had, suffice to say, since 2007, a series of canine units that are on the job, and I don't know if the German Shepherd did all these things that the Belgian Malinois do. But, I remember that now that the caller, reminded us. So it's, 10:50. We have open phone lines up until, 11 o'clock. And now let's see what else happened on this date back through history. In 1943, during World War II, Axis forces in North Africa surrendered. The 2-week Trident Conference, headed by President Franklin D. Roosevelt and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, opened in Washington. On this date in 1958, the United States and Canada signed an agreement to create the North American Air Defense Command, later the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD. In 1970, the Senate voted unanimously to confirm Harry A. Blackmun as a Supreme Court Justice. I'm still thinking about NORAD, North American Air Defense Command. It is still in place, but you don't hear much about it, except at Christmas time when NORAD tracks the flight of Santa Claus. On this date in 1975, the White House announced the new Cambodian government had seized an American merchant ship, the Mayaguez, in international waters. U.S. Marines gained control of the ship 3 days after its seizure, not knowing the 39 civilian members of the crew had already been released by Cambodia. In 1982, in Fatima, Portugal, security guards overpowered a Spanish priest armed with a bayonet who attacked Pope John Paul II. In 2008, the Pope's longtime private secretary revealed that the pontiff was slightly wounded in the assault. On this date in 1986, the military action drama film Top Gun, starring Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis, and released by Paramount Pictures, had its world premiere in New York. That was in 1986. The Top Gun movie came out with Maverick and Goose and Tom Cruise, and admit it, You cried when Goose died. So isn't there a sequel coming out, like, right now, decades after the fact? That's a movie that really doesn't need a sequel, but that's Hollywood for you. In 2008, a devastating 7.9 earthquake in China's Sichuan province left more than 87,000 people dead or missing. On this date in 2009, five Miami men were convicted in a plot to blow up FBI headquarters, or FBI buildings, rather, and Chicago's Sears Tower. One man was acquitted. Also in 2009, suspected Nazi death camp guard John Demjanjuk was deported from the United States to Germany. On this date in 2011, Demjanjuk, who maintained his innocence, would be convicted by a German court of being an accessory to the murder of tens of thousands of Jews. He died in March 2012 at age 91. In 2011, CEOs of the five largest oil companies went before the Senate Finance Committee, where Democrats challenged the executives to justify tax breaks at a time when people were paying $4 for a gallon of gas. That was 11 years ago. 5 years ago, dozens of countries were hit with a huge cyber extortion attack that locked up computers and held users' files for ransom at a multitude of hospitals, companies, and government agencies. Pope Francis urged Catholics to tear down all walls and spread peace during a visit to Fatima, Portugal, as he marked the 100th anniversary of one of the most unique events of the 20th century Catholic Church, the visions of the Virgin Mary, reported by three illiterate shepherd children. 1 year ago, Israel pressed ahead with a fierce military offensive in the Gaza Strip, killing as many as 10 senior Hamas military figures and toppling two high-rise towers housing Hamas facilities. The Islamic militant group showed no signs of backing down and fired hundreds of rockets at Israeli cities. Republicans dumped Representative Liz Cheney from her House leadership post for her persistent repudiation of Donald Trump's election falsehoods, underscoring the hold that Trump retained on his party. The nation's largest fuel pipeline restarted operations days after it was forced to shut down by a gang of hackers, Jay-Z, Foo Fighters, and the Go-Go's were elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, their first time on the ballot, leading a class that also included Tina Turner, Carole King, and Todd Rundgren. Today's birthday is composer Burt Bacharach. He's still with us. He's 94 years old today. Country singer Billy Swan is 80. Singer-musician Steve Winwood turned 74 today. Country singer Kix Brooks, half of Brooks and Dunn, is 67 today. Rock musician Eric Singer, he is the current drummer for Kiss. Eric Singer is 64. And the current lineup of Kiss has been together longer, far longer than the original lineup that hit the scene back when I was in sixth grade, just the right age. It was Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, Paul Stanley, and Peter Criss was the drummer at the time. Rock musician Billy Duffy is 61 today. Actor Vanessa A. Williams is 59. Actor Stephen Baldwin is 56. Actor Kim Fields is 53 today. Actor Christian Campbell is 50. Actor Mackenzie Astin is 49 today. Actor Jason Biggs is 44. Actor Malcolm David Kelly is 30. And actor Sullivan Sweeten is 27 today.
With the first big holiday just a few weeks away, we have a deal for you. Hi, I'm Craig Abner, the sales manager at the Jeff Drennan Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealership located here in beautiful Coshocton. Help us celebrate this Memorial Day all month long. Are you and your family thinking about a summer vacation, ball games, taking a road trip? Well, we're here to help. We have a great selection of third-row vehicles to haul you and your team anywhere you're heading. Our lot is full of clean, dependable, safety-checked vehicles priced just right. Make Jeff Drennan's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram your first stop and see for yourself why so many people choose us for their vehicle needs. Chrysler Jeep Dodge of Coshocton.com.
This is Diana McKee with Coshocton County Jobs and Family Services. We will be accepting applications for the Summer Youth Work Program ages 16 to 24 an Exploring the Possibilities program ages 14 and 15 through May 27th, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the lower level of Job and Family Services. If you are between the ages of 14 and 24, have a child in the home under the age of 18, and are low income, you are encouraged to apply. Only completed packages will be accepted. If you have any questions, you can call 740-295-7573.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good with a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update!
All right, I'm going to let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Well, that wraps up our Communication Lines program for today. A big thank you goes out to Alex Nelson, the new director of the Coshocton County Recycling and Litter Prevention Office. And a big thank you to Sheriff Jim Crawford, also officers Dave Stone and Stephen Mox, and especially K-9 Officer Charlie for joining us today. Very interesting stuff. And the canine units and the officers and the dogs helping protect our community. Weather forecast calls for mostly sunny skies today. Warm with highs in the lower 80s. Clear tonight, lows in the upper 50s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny.
Listen to the WTNS Communication Lines Monday through Friday from 9 until 11 a.m. on WTNS FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.